Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for December the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2019. As you know, our goal is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We have a two-hour extended interview. We're talking to Michael Hirsch. He's the Virginia State Chair for Watchmen on the Wall. That's the term they use in Virginia, but it's part of a ministry for Family Research Council. WatchmenPastors.org is a reach-out arm, if you will, for Family Research Council and more. Do I have that right, Michael?
Right. It's the Virginia Watchmen Council that represents the network of pastors in Virginia who are affiliated, associated with the Family Research Council P3 Pastors Initiative. You know, I would encourage the listeners to go to Watchmen on the Wall, that is WatchmenPastors.org, because, as Tony Perkins has said, the problems we face in our communities and nations are not just political and cultural, they're spiritual in nature. That's Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. And so consequently, those problems ultimately require a spiritual solution administered, here we go, by spiritual leadership. And that's why the Family Research Council, with Tony's initiative, Watchmen on the Wall, are championing pastors to transform America. And you know, it's so simple, Sam, because all we do is we ask the number one, pray for our nation. That is absolutely a biblical mandate. Number two, to preach the whole counsel of God without apology. In other words, what is the biblical worldview that translates to public policy? Or as I said earlier, as Peter commanded, laws that are for the Lord's sake. And number three, to partner with other pastors. And that's the great strength. This year alone, 2019, we have met with over 300 pastors in 12 summits we did, breakfasts or luncheons, bringing them in, speaking to them with Reverend Travis Witt, our Southwest chairman, with Reverend Bill Cook, again, founder of the Virginia Black Robe Regiment, and our Northern Virginia chairman, then myself, taking the rest of the state. And so we want these pastors to know, these spiritual leaders, men and women, that as they walk out their calling as a pastor, we'll be there to serve you, to stand with you, and encourage you. Let me tell you, when I prayed to God the night that I realized the city was going to try to take our civil and religious liberties away in the house of God for children with disabilities, forget it, my red blood boiled. But I prayed and I said, God, you've got to raise up an advocate. And I want to say again, a shout out to Tony Perkins and the entire Family Research Council family for the great work they're doing for faith, family, and freedom to restore those rights and to roll back, if I could put it that way, and retake the ground that needs to be taken.
Now, really quick, before we get to the details about the founding era, because they understood these principles, Sheriff Richard Mack, I want you to chime in. If there's two groups of people that need to be awakened from their slumber, it is the pastors and it is the sheriffs. And then we, the people, need to stand and support both of them. Your response, Sheriff?
Yeah, I thought you were going to add, and we, the people, need to wake up.
Well, we need to wake up, too, but many of us are awake. We just need to stand behind those who can help us do something. You know, a lot of guys want to get involved and create a militia or create a citizen's grand jury or citizens of safety or whatever they want to do. But unless we can tie it to the proper role of government, if we're not very careful, we go off rogue. Now, I'm not downing militias. Don't misunderstand the point. What I'm saying is that we got to have a proper mandate. And we got to do so through proper authority channels for it to make sense. And that's why I kind of say these two groups need to wake up and then we need to stand behind them. The pastors and the sheriffs can wake the people up just fine. The people can wake the pastors and the sheriffs up. All three entities will balance each other out. And it'll just be synergistic in its nature, Sheriff.
But the point is also, Sam, if we were to have the sheriffs and pastors wake up across this country, they would wake up the people. It could be the other way around. It could be that the people wake up.
I say it'll be both all the time.
And sheriffs.
It'll be both all the time, Sheriff.
Yeah, exactly. And so that is a fearsome threesome that we need to have back in America. And the people, though, have been so dumbed down and so brainwashed by our political leaders, that it almost looks insurmountable. But we only need, as I mentioned earlier, 400, 500, 600, 800 sheriffs at the most. If we had 300 even strong constitutional sheriffs like Sheriff Jenkins, Sheriff Rogers, and Sheriff Clark, and Sheriff Palmer, and numerous other sheriffs across the country, those are just the ones that came to my mind first, we could take the country back, because the sheriffs would be educating their own constituencies, and it would take America back tomorrow. And that would include getting rid of abortion.
Hey, Michael, the sheriff, or the founding fathers understood these principles, didn't they?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why we have the structure set that the greatest representation of we the people and the closest in our constitutional system are the duly elected representatives, the sheriffs. And, you know, if I could go back again to the importance of the pastors in the revolution, remember the shot heard around the world in Concord, the forgotten story of Reverend Jonas Clark, the pastor of Christ Church in Lexington. And then also, you know, it was my pleasure to speak among my friends with the Gideons. You know, I came to faith in Christ by reading a Gideon Bible. That's a whole nother story. But I had the opportunity to go to Woodstock, Virginia, where John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, you know, called his entire congregation to engage in the fight. And Lexington, again, was a gun grab. That was General Gage sending the Redcoats down there to grab their guns. To keep them from exercising their rights. And this is why the founders knew. Listen, to say that these weapons today are so far advanced from the muskets and breech loaders of that day is as ridiculous as saying your First Amendment right can only be exercised through a quill pen, for crying out loud.
Well, let me say this. They are much more powerful than yesterday's weapons. However, that's intended that we have equal power to stop tyranny. So what I mean is, yes, they're more powerful, but so what? It doesn't change the fundamental God-given unalienable right and principle for self-defense.
That's absolutely right. And again, understand that in the Bill of Rights, no other amendment has the words shall not be infringed. That's how strong they wanted to make it. They said, don't monkey with this. Don't play with this. And, you know, again, you know, we're talking about localities because that's what we're coming down to. And I want to go back, if you'll permit me, to just give you again the biblical mandate for the letter C in the peace plan. It's concentrate. Did you know that Jeremiah 29:7 says, seek the peace of the city, your county, your town? Clergymen and believers are commanded of God because it's local. You know, there's an old saying, all politics are local. Well, all prayer is local. So I put that call out to fellow believers and, again, constitutional Americans. How are we praying for our local government, the issues that they're facing? How do we form and maintain relationships? And so we have to do that. And these are the biblical mandates that I'm sharing with pastors all across the state, that we've got to pray, we've got to educate, we've got to advocate, we've got to concentrate. And then, of course, what kind of minister would I be if I didn't use the E for evangelize? And here's the funny thing. Aren't we commanded to share the good news? Well, part of that good news is your God-given rights and the good news with all people. Some people say everyone but the politicians because, and I'll say this sarcastically or with humor, because they're all going to hell anyway. Well, no, they're not. We're told to pray for them. We're told to raise them up. We're told to stand in the gap with them. Let me tell you, I remember the day that I went into the Virginia Senate when it was then under the leadership of Lieutenant Governor Northam. And I remember when Donald McEachin was a Virginia senator, and I prayed over that assembly that they would strive lawfully. Well, today they are striving unlawfully. And the way that I believe God will answer my prayer is that he will raise up we the people. He will raise up the sheriffs to lock arm in arm for their local communities and protect the rights, protect the lives, to protect the families. I mean, this is it. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is being threatened. When they come knocking at your door to take your guns and then take all of your other rights, what will you do? This is the day. The light is lit. The call is going forth. Pastors must arise with passion in their hearts and tell their people you must be registered to vote. There's nothing illegal with that. Listen, I have held Senate forums in my church. Of course, my church predates. I have taken sermons where I've said, this is who I'm voting for. This is the biblical worldview. This is why. And I've sent it to the IRS. And today on a national broadcast, I'll say it again, come and get me.
What do you say to that, Sheriff?
It is my constitutional right.
Yes, it is. What do you say to that, Sheriff?
Well, I really appreciate listening to Michael. He's very eloquent, and he knows his stuff, and I totally agree with him, and we just need more of this. We've got to make this bigger, better, and faster, and that's exactly what I say about the CSPOA. We have the organization in place. It's ready to go. What we just need more people involved, and if we had hundreds of volunteers all across the country, and if we had funding, we would already have this thing won. And it really frustrates me that it goes so slowly. But I really appreciate it. It gives me such strength to listen to people like Michael and to know he's out there, and people like Sheriff Jenkins. It invigorates me. I'm not losing hope. I'm not going to lose hope. We hope and pray that more people will get involved in this process, and we really pray for the sheriffs in this country that they will wake up to their sense of duty and to their oath of office in upholding and defending the U.S. Constitution.
Well, and with the government flexing their muscle at every turn and putting innocents in prison, it seems like almost at every turn, when Michael makes a statement like that, my prayer is that a constitutional sheriff will ensure that Michael Hirsch's rights are never infringed. WatchmanPastors.org is the website. We're talking about the Valiant Stand in Virginia going on right now. We'll talk a little more about the Patriots, and then we'll talk about what's happening. What are the next steps? What can we do on your radio?
Mom, you don't know anything about me anymore.
Honey, I know you're good at math. You don't like English. I know Ryan smiled at you yesterday at school. I know your favorite color is purple. And I know you don't like mushrooms. And who can blame you? I mean, mushrooms are a fungus, and people generally try to avoid funguses. Or is it fungi? I'm never quite sure. But, you know, either way, I mean, penicillin is good.
Penicillin is a mold.
Huh. Well, I guess you're right. So you like penicillin, but not mushrooms.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear.
Mom, if we talk, will you be quiet?
Love to.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
We're talking about the Second Amendment Sanctuary Movement, ladies and gentlemen. 95 Second Amendment sanctuaries and more to come in Virginia. We're talking about a valiant stand. Sheriff Scott Jenkins will deputize residents if gun control laws are passed. Virginia Patriots are sticking to their guns and God, ladies and gentlemen. And Michael Hirsch is with us for the second hour. It's a two-hour special, libertyroundtable.com. And there's two very important things that led to the American Revolution that people need to understand, Michael.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, so there's two things that led to the American Revolution that people need to really understand. Number one, the American War for Independence began over an arbitrary British attempt to disarm the people of Lexington. I mentioned this last hour. They put up with a lot of things. I mean, this wasn't just a, oh my gosh, we're going to go to war in a year or two thing. This was many, many, many decades in the making, and the Founding Fathers put up with a ton. And they documented that, the train of usurpations in the Declaration of Independence. But when they finally came for the guns, the founders said, can't let that happen. You want to respond to that?
Yeah, well, not only, you know, the founders, but again, so many of them had the biblical worldview. And as I referenced Reverend Jonas Clark, I would encourage all of the readers to just Google him, the Battle of Lexington. And I want to go back because, maybe my passion got the better part of me, but I want to say this again. You know, we as believers, those who are called to ministry, we have a constitutional right of association, freedom of speech. And I want to say this, I do not give up my right as a natural-born citizen. Remember, the son of an immigrant who gave his life in service to this country, defending those rights, when I step onto church property or if I step behind the pulpit, I've been sworn to defend the Constitution in a number of offices that I've shared here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And I want to say it again. I was a citizen before I came into ministry, and I will never yield those God-given constitutionally protected rights, so help me God. So, again, I think we have to look at the context of this. And here's what I'm saying. We have to have local participation. We have to have people that are participating in the nomination process. The Virginia Watchman Council vets all of the Senate candidates, vets all of the congressional district candidates for this year's election. Last year, we vetted House of Delegate candidates. I could go on and on. And we need to do those things. We need to understand the process of being out there and supporting the candidate that you've nominated with door knocking, with phone calling, phone banking, literature dropping, getting out the vote, and then holding them accountable once they're in office. We, the people, are the ones who must use our rights to defend our rights. Otherwise, like you see the attempt in Virginia, they're going to take your rights away.
Our rights are sacred, ladies and gentlemen. You don't lose them when you serve your country. You don't lose them when you preach the gospel of Christ. You don't lose them when you get on the radio and become a talk show host. You don't lose them when I can go on and on, right? But the point is, ladies and gentlemen, these rights are sacred. And the second issue, besides the fact that they came for the guns, opponents of the Second Amendment will say, hey, they'll focus on a well-regulated militia being necessary to the protection of a free state, a security of a free state. But they misinterpret this, and what they want you to believe is that all militias are rogue. A militia is just like an anti-government person that's just kind of gone wacko and wants to create a civil war in America. The mainstream press pitches that lie because people aren't familiar with our founding, Michael.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And again, you know, we have Supreme Court decisions. As I mentioned, the Supreme Court in Heller, 2008. I want to say this in context because let's go there first. They affirmed an individual's right to possess firearms, possess and bear arms, get this, unconnected with service in a militia for traditionally lawful purposes, self-defense within the home. That's why I say, what are you going to do when they come knocking at your door to take your guns away with which you would defend yourself against any unlawful intruder? That is just crazy. And that goes before the militia. And again, so the founding fathers understood that. I mean, listen, when John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg said there's a time for war and a time for peace, it's a time for war. I got to tell you, folks, we are at a time for war right now in Virginia. We must rise up and we must protect our rights. And I call on every pastor to let that clarion call go forward. Let your prophetic voice be heard, because as watchmen on the wall, guess who's going to be held accountable for the direction we go in? Those who are supposed to be the light, supposed to be the salt, supposed to be the city on the hill, the house of God. It begins in the house of God, and we've got to step up and do what we've been called to do.
And I submit we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, using the principles codified in the supreme law of our land and in the Bill of Rights. The only question is, will they let us peacefully restore the country, Michael? That's the only question left, right?
Well, I think that goes to, again, the whole matter of due process. You know, again, the Bill of Rights. In the Chicago decision, the court affirmed the right of an individual to keep and bear arms under the Second Amendment, and it was incorporated with the Due Process Clause. These laws that they're passing, Senate Bill 16, 64, and 67, are completely against the due process. They'll just show up at your door. We've got a call that you've got this or that, you know, the red flag. This is horrible, and it's unconstitutional, And again, these are our God-given rights to self-defense, to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the founding of our nation. And that's what the Family Research Council, through its Watchman on the Wall organization, is standing for, encouraging those pastors. Let me say that again. When this fight for me came to my doorstep, it was an encouragement to know that there were pastors and organizations willing to stand with us in the fight. We weren't standing alone.
Sheriff, it's back to due process. We talk about this all the time, but in case after case after case, it comes down to due process almost every time.
Yeah, it does. And it really is sad that we have so many tyrannical people that are in charge of that due process.
In fact, the abuse of our president right now is the violation of due process, isn't it?
Totally. Totally it is. And that it really should alarm all Democrats, all Republicans, all independents. Every citizen in this country should be extremely alarmed by what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. And so, yeah. Sam, I'm sorry to be so preoccupied today. My wife and I have got to get to the airport, and we're really behind, so I'm going to sign off.
I'll let you fly. We'll continue with Michael, but I want to have one last statement from you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about the leadership in Virginia? They're really leading, in my opinion, the prevention of a civil war if folks that are elected are willing to obey the law. Otherwise, we might have a problem on our hands, and it won't be our fault. The tyrannical folks will be the aggressors, won't they?
Well, a lot of good sheriffs and a lot of good people are trying to keep the peace, as you alluded to, Sam, and it's really sad that the governor there and some of the legislatures also want to do the same thing and push the envelope on that. But the sheriff has every right to deputize anyone he wants, and he can give them identification. So when they knock on that door, they simply, when the gun grabbers knock on that door of that citizen, he can show, I am a member of the sheriff's posse, and I am required to be armed. Please go take it up with Sheriff Jenkins or every sheriff in the country.
There you have it. Thank you, Sheriff. Godspeed. You're travel welcome. Safe. Michael, do you want to respond to that?
Well, I think that that is the again, the drilling down of the right of we the people. And, you know, I agree with Sam and I agree with Sheriff Jenkins, but it shouldn't even be necessary. Has it really come to this? But, you know, we have the right of redress of grievances, and that is a lawful remedy in this case. And I think that that is what should be done. Again, I want to go back to my comrades in arms, my pastor friends, and again say, look, we're just calling on you to preach a biblical worldview sermon related to government, voting, and elections. We're asking you to pray for our leaders and to part with other pastors so you know that you're never standing alone.
I think it's critical to understand, though, that I believe it to be a sin to vote for a wicked man or woman. And I think we need to find good, honest, wise leaders to serve us as well. Because even though none of us are perfect, and they might make a mistake here or there, we need to take the country in a moral direction. And only good, honest, wise people can accomplish that. Kurt, do you want to respond to that real quick?
Well, it's so important to stand if we don't. I mean, Congress is typically known as the only standing for re-election, but it's nice to see that good individuals like our guest today, and of course Sheriff Mack going all the way to the Supreme Court, and so many others that give us hope and give us good examples, well, they're led by our supreme example, the Prince of Peace,
Amen to
Jesus
that.
Christ.
Now, I want to make another statement. It's a little bit of a rewind to the Founding Father-esque understanding, but I want Michael to carry it forward, and then we'll talk about what we can do, how we can be involved, what's actually going on in Virginia, next steps. In other words, what does the future hold, etc. But the right to keep and bear arms is a God-given right codified by the Bill of Rights. And it's a natural intended to deter tyrants and enemies, both foreign and domestic, ladies and gentlemen. The Second Amendment was meant to ensure the protection of people, all right? And it was designed that we had arms matching those that would try to take them away. Let's have Michael respond to that in seconds. This point needs to be repeated as well. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The last Democratic debate of the year held last night in Los Angeles. Seven candidates calling for President Trump, now that he's been impeached, to be removed from office. In the debate, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders called Trump a pathological liar. Senator Elizabeth Warren saying corruption is definitely on the table in the 2020 election. And former VP Joe Biden says integrity must be restored in the White House. Senator Amy Klobuchar says of the race,
this primary comes down to some simple questions. Who has the best ideas, the best experience? Mostly, who can beat Donald Trump, and how will she do it?
NASA says there are technical problems with the Starliner space capsule, which launched from Cape Canaveral this morning. It says that it may not be able now to dock as scheduled with the International Space Station. This is USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
He's been impeached, and now President Trump is eager for a Senate trial to begin. Here's USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
President Trump on Twitter says he wants an immediate trial in the Senate, saying Democrats have zero proof of anything. Now, the House passing two articles of impeachment, but House Speaker Nancy Pelosi holding up sending them to the Senate. Pelosi says she needs to know the structure of the Senate trial first.
I don't feel like I'm being impeached because it's a hoax. It's a setup. They happen to have a small majority, and they took that small majority and they forced people.
Senate Majority Leader Republican Mitch McConnell says he and Democrat Chuck Schumer have yet to agree on trial rules.
Meanwhile, an evangelical magazine founded by the late preacher Billy Graham says Trump should be removed from office. The editor-in-chief of Christianity Today says in an editorial that Trump's alleged coercion of a foreign leader was profoundly immoral. This is USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Let's be clear on the Founding Fathers' understanding of the Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen. It isn't designed for hunters, although hunting's valuable. It isn't designed for, you know, military personnel, although military is valuable. It's designed to stop government thugs from taking too much power. I highlighted the checks and balances, and they're critical. And one of the ways that we have government restricted, chained down by the confines of the Constitution. Okay, this is critical. It's divisions, and we separate, divide power. The three branches of government at all levels, judicial, executive, right? Legislative. Then you got the feds and the states, two different governments, two different jurisdictions, dual sovereigns is how you might put it, right? They have some sovereignty. The federal government being very limited in its scope, very defined. The powers left of the states and the people, very broad. The people are the ultimate sovereigns. They work for us, not the other way around. But remember, when the people are afraid of the government, we have a tyranny. When the government's afraid of the people, we have liberty. And Michael, the Founding Fathers understood, hey, when King George came for the guns, we're not doing that, because they understood that was the line in the sand. Not because we want to draw the line, but because the line is forced at that point. If we cannot defend ourselves and stand up for our God-given rights, we will not have any. And they understood that principle. And so the necessity of our right to keep and bear arms are critical. And the founders understood this, and we need to understand this today. We got to have a weaponry that equals the tyranny to stop it. And if we don't, we surely shall lose all of our rights. This is a critical understanding the founders understood, and that we need to make sure that we carry forward today. This is where the pastor's preaching and the people teaching and the talk show host talking, and we can carry forth this fundamental, I would call it to some degree, rudimentary understanding. But it seems to be lost today. We need to bring it back.
Well, you know, Sam, when I opened my 3-minute segment before the Board of Supervisors here in Caroline County, it opened this way. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, thank you for your service, proposed resolution to reaffirm your oath to the United States and Virginia constitutions, in which the sacred God-given right to keep and bear arms is enshrined. And I got to tell you something, it's a serious consideration. Lenin said we're going to beat them at the ballot, and then we're going to beat them with the bayonet. And this is exactly what we're seeing. They've taken this power-hungry grab because they now have a majority, and now they're going to come after you with the bayonet. They're going to use the rule of law, the force of law, the force of power to take away your God-given rights, and we have to stand up to them. You know, when I spoke to them, I said, we see legislation introduced to the Virginia General Assembly that would infringe the rights of law-abiding citizens to keep and bear arms, and the governor has stated he's going to intend to sign such in the law. So we were saying to them, tonight, you have the opportunity to show how much you care, not only for your own lives and families, property, and safety, but for those in the community that you serve. To every person listening to this, I'm telling you, what's happening in Virginia will reverberate like ripples in the pond across America. We've got to stand up, and that's why it's so wonderful to see the groundswell of support. And we've got to keep the passion burning. We've got to keep the people informed. We've got to keep this issue in the forefront all the way to November of 2021.
And, of course, beyond, we need to be eternally vigilant. Never forget that. But look, those who want to take away our guns invariably want to control the people. That's what this is about, and you can see who's on whose side who in about 2 seconds. So what's going to happen next in this battle? You got the good Sheriff Scott standing up. You got several people doing a lot of good things. You guys are. But you know what? Donald kind of waffles. On one hand, he defends the Second Amendment. On the other hand, he says, hey, I get rid of gun-free zones first day. And then he says, well, take the guns first, due process second. In my opinion, a huge misstep. How do we help the Donald stay true? And then how do we make sure that this continues? What would the next steps be, if you will?
Well, you know, for me, it's interesting because having been drawn into, and by the way, Sam, I just wanted to report to you that after the city had reversed itself, our church had to get this. I want you to understand this. Our church in its facility right there on Route 1, Main Street in Fredericksburg, Virginia, had a, get this, state-licensed school for children with disabilities in our church. And so I believe that it's activism at every level. You know, again, how many people understand the means by which a person is considered for nomination to get on the ballot to be elected? Listen, I'm not going to disclose who it was, but it certainly was an endorsed candidate by the Virginia Watchman Council that I, as a friend of that man running for United States Senate, sat for 3 hours yesterday and talked about everything right down to the necessity of gathering names to petition other registered voters in America, well, here in Virginia, to get them on the ballot. Most people have no idea how that works. How do you go into the local units of whatever party and stand up and speak for that person that you believe should be nominated because they hold a biblical worldview of our God-given sacred rights? How do you then go to a primary, a canvas? How do you then follow through, again, as I said, with door knocking, with getting out the literature, with participating, showing up at the meetings? When you hear people say, we have no choice, it's only down to whoever's on the ballot. No, it isn't. It's up to you to promote these people into the places of public service. And again, as a pastor, when God told Moses, choose out from among you, when the apostles told the disciples, choose out from among you, we're talking about deacons in Acts chapter 6, this was because those people were already there, sitting in the churches of America every Sunday or Saturday or whatever day you worship on, are the people that we should be promoting to positions that will protect our God-given rights and take them back. And I want to make this clear. The Virginia Watchman Council is a nonpartisan group. We are incorporated in the Commonwealth as nonpartisan. So we have reached out to both sides of the aisle, and I believe that we're going to see, as you just saw celebrated in the White House yesterday, people leaving one party because they're looking for the liberties that that party left from them.
I wish we could just get rid of partisan politics in America. The founding fathers warned us against parties. And understand, I think the Democratic Party should be sued right now. They're literally violating the law at every turn. The Donald can't face his accusers. President Trump can't have a speedy trial. He can't have a fair and open trial. It's not transparent. He can't. It goes on and on. They had star chamber meetings where Republicans weren't welcome. Understand that the Democratic Party is not even part of our government, sir. It's a private organization that's literally shanghaied the process, the constitutional reality. And the Senate now is stuck where they can't move forward because Nancy says she wants to control the process. Now, that shouldn't be allowed. They could change the rules to get rid of that. But I bring this up because if it can happen to the highest office holder in the land, the president of the United States, one of the most powerful men in the world, hey, there's no telling what can happen to me and you.
Absolutely. And this is where, again, people need to get up off their couch, get out there, as I said, to the polling places, get out there to the public square to promote themselves for public service and, you know, to identify these individuals. We have a 37-question vetting form. I remember when the Virginia Watchman Council held a statewide Senate vetting 6 hours one day at the Virginia Christian Alliance in Richmond, Virginia, one of our partners. And we vetted all four candidates, 1 hour each, 37 questions having to do with faith, family, freedom, the individual role, the family role, the church role, the government role, public policy issues related to biblical worldview. And then we came out with our endorsement of our candidate, et cetera, and then blasted it out to our network of pastors across Virginia. We need to have we the people actively engaged. And when you look at the number of people who attend church who are not registered to vote, you wonder, did they ever read the Bible for themselves? Did their pastors ever tell them what Jesus said? Listen, Jesus said, render under Caesar what is Caesar's. Render under God what is God's. Be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Where are the believers who are standing for ordinances for the Lord's sake? Grabbing your guns is certainly not for your sake, and it's certainly not for the Lord's sake. And the founders understood that because that was the threat that they faced when they said the redcoats are coming. Well, you know, don't get me going because I'll start preaching.
Well, and there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's at the crux of it. Our founders said you have a republic if you can keep it. We've even got the president running around going, oh, they're destroying our democracy. We need to correct this fundamental. I know you can say, well, Sam, it's just a little word difference there. Oh, it's a huge difference. Yes, we have some democratic principles in our constitutional republic. I get it. But we can't run around and say we have a democracy. A democracy will destroy the country. We don't defend democracies around the world. At least we shouldn't. We should defend constitutional representative republics based on the rule of law, based on checks and balances, based on the divisions of power to make sure no one gets too powerful, based on moral people involved at every juncture, moral people insisting on the checks and balances, insisting on the upholding the rule of law. If people break the law, insisting on accountability, that's what builds trust and fidelity in the system. By the way, speaking of that, we need to return to honest money. Man, we got a lot of work, ladies and gentlemen. But you know the good news? The good news is that this nation was and still is a Christian nation. We just need to return to our roots. We just need to be anxiously engaged in our sacred cause. Ladies and gentlemen, quick pause. Final segment in seconds with Michael Hirsch. Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Michael Hirsch with us. So, Michael, what do you think is going to happen next in Virginia? The governor and some seem to be digging down to violate our God-given rights. The sheriff and you folks and many others seem to be standing up and getting a lot of support from the American people, which is great news. What do you think is going to happen next?
Well, you know, the legislative process is really pretty simple. You have the two egregious Senate bills that will go through subcommittee committee, then the full vote, same in the House with the House bill over there. And then you have crossover day, and then it goes to be signed by the governor. I mean, that's the way the legislative process works in Virginia. And they have pretty much stated what their position is, and they have the majority. So they're going to railroad this unconstitutional stuff through there. But, Sam, let me just say this, if I may, a personal reflection on my experience when I went to the Board of Supervisors, one of those 95 sanctuary counties. You know, they had a good but pretty much a generic resolution that they had proposed to the public saying we're going to reaffirm our oath. Well, that's good. I think that my statement to them reflects pretty much what 90% of the speakers that were there did. And I called them. I said, I request the board oppose any law in violation of the constitutions of the United States and the Commonwealth that would unlawfully restrict our right to lawfully keep and bear arms. I call on this board to stand for the Constitution by declaring Caroline County as a sanctuary county for Second Amendment rights and to lawfully oppose any unconstitutional efforts to restrict such rights, to use all legal means at its disposal to protect the rights of citizens to keep and bear arms through legal action, the power of appropriation of funds, very important, and the right to petition for redress of grievances. I ask that the board uphold and defend our Second Amendment rights and resolve that public funds, resources, employees, lands, buildings, or offices of the county shall not be used to restrict the Second Amendment rights of the citizen of the county or to aid federal or state agencies in the restriction of our God-given rights. Show your Caroline County pride. Oppose any infringement upon the rights of our law-abiding citizens to keep and bear arms using such legal means as may be expedient. I commend you and your support, and I support your proposed resolution reaffirming your oath to the Constitution. And yet, in consideration of the constitutional crisis now upon us, the threat to our home, our lives, our families, our property, I ask you in closing that you consider amending your resolution to include the lawful provisions I have previously mentioned. Tonight, reaffirm your support for one of the greatest cornerstones of our county and country's rich history and culture. Defend who we are as Americans, our rich heritage of the right to keep arms. Do this for our children and posterity. Make this your enduring legacy for generations to come. You know what they did, Sam? They tabled their resolution and passed one that had teeth in it and sent a signal back to the people of Virginia. We're not standing for this tyrannical power play that's coming from that other side of the aisle.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's great work. It's a start. It's more than a start. And we got to keep working at it, not only in Virginia, but across our great land. You know what I find ironic about this whole discussion, Michael? You know, the people in power do know that we have a right to keep and bear arms, and they know that right shall not be infringed. And they know full well what it means. They play games like they don't know what it means. The militia doesn't mean individually. It means a whole body, or that you don't have a right to this or this. And that they continue to manipulate it because their desire is to control the people. Their desire is to get gain and control the people. It's wrong, it's evil, and it's got to stop. But they know the truth, and I'll prove it to you. Why domestically do they want to disarm the good guys? But internationally, they say we got to arm the good guys to stop the bad guys all around the world. We're the biggest arms dealer in the whole world, sir. And they always say we got to arm the good guys to stop the bad guys internationally. But domestically, they say we got to take arms away from the good guys. What's up with that?
It's hypocrisy. You can see right through it. And again, they have their socialist progressive agenda. And look, you go back and you look at every act of fascism, communism, socialism, it starts with disarming the people. We have to stand for the God-given right to bear arms and all of our rights. And again, I want to say this, the First Amendment and the Second Amendment co-mutually equally defend each other. I stood using the First Amendment to defend the Second Amendment, and the Second Amendment was written in there, shall not be infringed by the Founding Fathers because they understood the force of law. They understood the power that was there invested in we the people.
Tell me about funding. Your battle is epic. There's no doubt about it. Your cause is just. Do you guys need funding, or do we just need active people engaged? What's the deal? I mean, nobody needs funding in this movement, right?
Well, you know, again, the Virginia Watchman Council is not funded by anybody, and we're certainly welcoming any funding that is given. But, you know, it's funny. I was trying to put a value on the efforts that we give. For instance, my hopping in the car, going to a meeting place, spending 4 hours with a fellow who's seeking to advance a biblical worldview in government in the U.S. Senate in Virginia. And I thought that is worth so much. And then people, again, engaging, showing up, participating, being there, speaking up. I want to tell you that it's funny because I actually put my clergy collar on because I wanted to be careful in my public statement not to offend once I'm outside of my own domain, that is my local church where I'm ordained. But it was funny because I had the collar on. One of the board supervisors asked me what I asked the invocation at that meeting. That was probably the highest point of that night. But the second highest point was immediately following the invocation when everyone stood to pledge allegiance. It was a roar. You could see that the members of the board of supervisors, having never in the history of Caroline County seeing a turnout of citizens like that, were emotionally affected. They were moved. A few of them even made comments how good it was to hear the Pledge of Allegiance. And what do we pledge to? The Republic under God for which it stands. We have to get active. We have to use our God-given rights. Yes, we need funding. And we're thankful, you know, all of the men that work with me, Reverend Travis Witt, Reverend Bill Cook, myself, we all self-fund ourselves. If people want to give to the cause, that's great. But show up for the cause. Vote for the cause. Get involved for the cause. Join the local militia. Join the local Tea Party. And let me say this. I'll say this finally, because even though we're nonpartisan, I am an individual. So when I said, where am I going to be able to have my voice heard? The reason I became a Republican, and it's not a RNC, it's a RPV, and that is because the sixth point of the Republican Creed reads this way, that faith in God, understood by the founders, is essential to the moral fabric of our society, of our community. And that's why I stand with that party in Virginia. And yet I see it as a representative association of the people bringing their collective voice together for what? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, our God-given rights.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to lift where you stand. It's time to say, you know what? I can't solve the world's problems by 3 o'clock, okay? And I don't have a gazillion dollars worth of funding. But I can do something, and what I can do, I will do. And on my watch, I will do my very best to promote God, family, and country, to protect life, liberty, and property, to educate and to activate in ways that preserve our God-given rights and the nation that recognizes those rights. That's why America's so great. And I want to make sure that they recognize those rights going into the future for my children and my grandchildren and so on and so on. And you know what? A lot of hands make heavy work light, Michael. That's what this is really about. And that's why the final check was with the people. Even though we have a constitutional republic, there is a democratic principle embedded in that. And that's where we, the people, it starts with us because we're their boss. and it ends with us because we only have a republic if we can keep it. We've got a crucial role to play, and I think what's missing in the recipe for the greatest country on the face of the earth in modern times is the people taking their responsibility seriously. It's about sacrifice.
Well,
it's about love. It's about faith and hope, and then it's about standing together and lifting where we stand, sir.
Yeah, let me say this, Sam, too, if I may, one final observation. And of course, I'm glad to answer any questions, but I want to say this, that in Virginia, we had 57.4 people vote 2 years in a row for a marriage amendment. We have people who stand for the sacred right to life. We have people who stand for the Second Amendment. We have people who stand for the First. What they must do is stand together. I watched these people with Organize America and these other socialist organizations. 1 month they would have dog lovers for XYZ. The next month they would have cat lovers for XYZ. The next month they would have animal lovers. And the dog lovers and the cat lovers would get together because they were animal lovers. Well, listen, if you love America, if you love your God-given constitutionally enshrined rights and the Bill of Rights, then you who love life, you who love guns, you who love marriage will stand together, because that is an overwhelming majority in Virginia and across the United States.
Michael, we're flat out of time. Give out your website, sir.
We have the Virginia Watchman Council on Facebook. We use Facebook and all of our contact information there. Of course, you have the information. You can give that out to your people that call in.
All right. I hope Facebook doesn't shut you down, sir.
That's fine. If they do, we're going to keep on either way.
Amen to that. Thank you so much, sir. Godspeed.
Thank you, Sam. God bless you.
Hey, Kurt, you want to wrap this up?
The wrapping, yeah. Well, this is the season of wrapping.
Yes, it is.
Up, Sam.
That's why I wanted you to wrap it up, buddy. Put a pretty bow on that, baby.
You know, I'm just seeing Breitbart's got a piece that says, headline, 86 of Virginia's 95 counties now Second Amendment sanctuaries. Then you've got... it's going on. It's not now. The Washington Examiner chimes in and reports about it. And so it's good to see Washington Examiner reports that 15 towns and cities in Virginia have also made the declaration. That brings the total number of Second Amendment sanctuaries to more than 100. So, you know, frankly, it's just good to see, Americans getting involved, even when, you know, the standard media tells us, what's the phrase? We got red and blue, right? So that Virginia's just gone blue, in other words, to the Democrats. Now, as Sam said before, we wish we could just get rid of the whole party thing. But for now, I guess we're stuck with it, aren't we, Sam?
For now, yeah, but we can continue to educate and continue to activate and continue to get involved and make a difference. And pretty soon, I don't care about red and blue lines or any divide and conquer tactics they may have. I want us to stand shoulder to shoulder as the children of the Almighty God, understanding our godly heritage, understanding that governments, if ran properly, are a blessing. You know what? God believes in proper roles of government, because otherwise you get a greater tyranny that's even worse. And sure, our government's not perfect, but I believe that the United States Constitution, the supreme law of the land, is really the political religion of our nation, if you will. And I believe it's the rule of law. And I believe that if we obey those principles and have fidelity to those principles, if we provide pure application of those principles, and if we're a good moral people that turn to the author of our liberty, our God, and then apply these principles, there's nothing that can stop this nation from being the greatest nation on the earth, in surety, a light on a hill. That's what we're striving for, folks. And I know we got a long way to go, but man, we're going to do the very best we can, and we're just going to leave the rest up to God. How's that? Got a lot of work to do, and we're delighted to do it. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully this 2-hour interview gave you hope and faith in our God-given rights and in the greatest country on the face of the earth, that is the United States of America. A constitutional republic. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for Sam and Kurt and Michael and all of you for listening. Spread the word. The archives will be at libertyroundtable.com. And if you have the heart to help, donate today. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media. God save the Republic of the United States of America.